All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast. This is a WTP Sports production. I'm Pat Lane. This is Mike Langone. Episode 14 tonight.
Wow.
Holy shnikes. We're really coming along. So tonight we have a little bit of Red Sox for you, a little bit of baseball, another call to Jose Canseco. We'll see if he answers tonight like he did last week, which is a little nuts. Maybe we'll actually get a question in there if he answers this time. And then we're going to talk to comedian Artie Januario, local comedian, funny as all hell. He might also be my uncle as well. You know, that's not the Artie Januario that was on before. That was his son. We're just the whole damn family's getting involved this time, man. But, you know, no offense to the little Artie, but the bigger Artie is a hell of a lot more funny. But, you know, maybe not quite as good looking, but nevertheless, we won't get into that. So we got that, and then when that's over, we'll do a little Kyrie. And possibly even a little bit of LeVar Ball, that fucking asshole. So, anyways, big shout out to MDOT and Core of EMS. Hit us with a ridiculous intro. We're psyched about it. We're not even going to cut anything off this time, dude. We're just going to play the whole shit for you tonight. So, we'll start messing with it a little bit in the coming weeks. You know, fading in and out and shit. But fuck that. We're playing the whole goddamn thing for you tonight because it's so fucking badass. So again, you can hit MDOT at Instagram or Twitter at MDOT Boston. And you can hit Core up on Twitter at K-O-R-E of EMS. So Core of EMS, but with a K. K-O-R-E of EMS. And that's that, man. For us, our Twitter handle and our email is the same. Weekend War Pod, WKNDWAR. P-O-D. So again, no E's in weekend. That's our Twitter handle. And then our email is the same thing, WKNDWARPOD @gmail.com. If you're not listening on iTunes, make sure you listen on iTunes. Subscribe, review, please. Okay, subscribe and review. And that's what we got, man. Give us a call. Shoot us an email. If you're driving, pull out your bag phone. Give us a call on that, man. Do whatever you got to do to get in touch with us, all right? So here comes the new intro. So that's all that. Right. Pretty sick, dude. Pretty excited about that. Not going to lie to you. So big shout out again to MDOT and Core for that. Pretty awesome. So yeah, so that's good. So let's get into it. Start with Red Sox, man.
Yeah.
Fucking Red Sox. They're in first place.
That, floor is cracking, though.
Holy shnikes.
The glass floor. They're going down soon.
Well, yeah, it's bad. Well, you know, it's like, they win Tuesday night, and it's like an unbelievable win. But even in the win, Sale blows, right? And it was first game with Vasquez in the year, so I understand that. But Sale sucked. Kimball blows the save. You're like, what the fuck, dude? Even when they win ugly and gross, and it doesn't make you feel good about them. You know, it's like, God.
But that's okay. That's like the 2013 team in a lot of ways. They won a lot of crappy games like that.
That's true. Well, that is true. I mean, I'm happy to see, especially with Sale on the mound. Like, you think Sale gives up runs like that, and you're never going to be able to come back from it. But they were able to fight through that and still score a bunch of runs. So that's good. I'm happy about that, at least, you know?
Yeah. The difference between the 2013 team and this team is that there's leadership.
Right.
And this team does not have any leadership.
No, you should. Well, you know, I mean. Well,
besides David Price.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
what a fucking leader that guy is, man.
Loved his reaction to getting hit by water.
You know, I will say they did cut that off a little early there. He was laughing after he got hit with the water. So it's almost like he got hit with the water and then he kind of had that initial reaction, but then he was laughing afterwards. It just, people cut it off a second early. Yeah, so you just laughter, saw though. The nasty face. And maybe it wasn't real laughter, no. But he maybe he was just trying to play it wrong. I don't know, but shit, man. He looks ugly. He doesn't look good. And so, no. You know, so we'll see. I mean, but shit. And then the whole thing with Pedroia on top of it, where he was the one cheering behind him, and you guys are looking at me, I'm the leader, and this and that. And it's like, dude, you don't see anyone else here answering these questions. I'm like, dude, stop it. It's just a bad look.
Well, the thing with Pedroia, and I don't know how people didn't get this until now. I didn't get it, but his whole career, there's been Ortiz.
Yep.
And if it wasn't Ortiz, it was, you know, Euculus, or you had Francona there.
Kevin Millar.
You had Kevin Millar. Actually, no, he never played with Kevin Millar.
No?
No.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Damn you. Stupid fat kicker.
But, yeah, he's never had to be the leader. I mean, he set examples by the way he plays in the field, but he's not...
But he's not a leader.
He's like, not a leader in the clubhouse. And you need guys like that. That's... You look at the 04 team, or really any world championship team, and they have multiple leaders.
Yeah, true. You know,
the old Yankee teams from the late 90s, early 2000s, that whole team was filled with leaders. Everyone in the lineup was a leader.
That's true. Very true. No, it's a good point. I mean, they are lacking that leadership, and it sucks. I mean, and again, to me, it all comes back to Lester. That's what it all comes back to me.
You think so?
I really do, because I think Lester was a leader in the clubhouse, and I think they showed people. Sorry about that. We're just interrupted there a little bit by Artie just calling a little early. Not sure who's calling who, and you know, we took care of it, so it's okay. We'll take care of that. I think it comes back to Lester. I just think the Lester thing is really simple. If you had given him a competitive offer, then you could have done what the Yankees did last year, which is dump him during the season. Trade him to a contender because you know you're not going to be a contender. And then you say, you know what? We were really close to a deal, so now we're going to sign you to a long-term deal.
Yeah, they tried doing that.
Right, but they gave him a bullshit offer.
The first time, and I think the second time, I think he was just telling him to stick it and he went to the Cubs. He went with Theo.
Exactly, and that's exactly the point. But if you had come to him, say, at $22, $23 million, mm-hmm. and he had said, yeah, we're close, but let's see how it plays out. And then during the year, you had said, look, we suck right now. We're going to trade you to a contender for you and for us. But leave that lines of communication open because we're going to try to bring you back in because we think you're a real part of this future. We showed you that in spring training that we think you're a real part of this future. And if we got to go up a few mil, we'll go up a few mil to bring you in. But we're trading you now for us to rebuild a little bit and for you to have a chance to compete because we suck right now.
Yeah.
And so then, hey, you can come back and play for us next year. But where they fucking gave him a shit offer, he was like, no, fuck you. I'll go play for somebody else.
And then they give Price, what, $35 million at the most? You know?
Yeah,
he'll probably never get that because he's going to opt out after next year, but... He's the bizarro Lester.
Right. It was reactionary is what it was. It was a reactionary move. Totally was.
And they do that every few years. They did that in 2011.
Yeah.
They did that again in 2015 with Hanley and what's his name? The tubby guy.
Yeah, oh God, Pablo.
Yeah.
His name who should not be mentioned. I don't know how you say
future,
that.
Future World Series MVP for the Giants.
Douche. Anyways, because you're probably right, because the Giants will be back in there again and he'll fucking hit out of his mind in the World Series. But look, you know, to me, again, I just think it comes back to that Lester decision. You don't make the shit decision with Price. And look, maybe they do exactly the same thing and they trade for Cespedes, and instead of keeping Cespedes, they trade him for Porcello. But now the front end of your rotation looks like Lester, Porcello, and Sale.
Yeah.
And now I'm a hell of a lot happier with that. Lester's signed for less than David Price. Plus, he's not being a little bitch in the clubhouse. You don't have to worry about him. Like, you're literally concerned that Price is turning some of these young guys. like Benintendi, they said, spends all his time with Price. And you're like, fuck, dude. Like, that's the last person we want Benintendi spending time with.
And no one talks about Mookie. What's his...
I don't know. I mean...
Is he cool? Do we like him right now? Or?
Well, see, I don't know. The thing is, they're so young that it's hard to know. Like, they're not leaders yet because they're just kids, you know?
Yeah.
Mookie played out of his mind last year, and he's had a little bit of a down year this year, which is to be expected. I mean, he wasn't going to be MVP again, or no, he wasn't MVP last year, but, like, he wasn't going to be top three in the MVP again. It just, it wasn't realistic to expect that from him. With that being said, he's had a good year.
Yeah, he and certainly has, but...
You know, but he's not... Another guy to me is Bogarts. Like, he kills me. And again, Boston Sports Info, Red Sox Sports Info, I don't know. Again,
Red Sox Stats?
No. This dude is Boston Sports Inf. He's the one we've talked about on it. So it's like at Boston Sports Inf with no O there. He said Rafael Devers has more home runs at Fenway than Xander Bogarts this year.
Strange.
It's like, what the fuck, dude, you know? And Bogarts can hit. I mean, he hits for average and everything, but he's not what we expected.
Right. And I wonder if... Because there was a year, a couple of years ago, where he just missed the batting title.
Yeah.
Wasn't there?
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's kind of like... I'm kind of affected him since then. I know it's something like probably really far-fetched, but...
No, I don't think it's far-fetched.
Because he's turned into a huge contact hitter.
Exactly. I think he sacrifices his power... for contact, and that pisses me off, but I think the Red Sox are on board with it.
Yeah,
I think they're encouraging him to do it, and so he...
Well, it's going to save them money later.
Well, that's true, too, I mean, right? But, you know, but if the guy's hitting 310, 315, whatever, and, you know, he's hitting 15 to 20 home runs, like, he'll take it. But it's like, this guy could be hitting 30 home runs easy.
He's a right-handed hitter at Fenway Park.
Right. And he, you know,
you have no excuse unless you're Pedroia, and even Pedroia, he still has pop once in a while, but in his prime,
right. And so that's the big thing for me is that I just look at it and I'm like, you know, maybe sacrifice a few points off your average for some more power and some more RBIs and everything. So we'll see. I mean, you know, it's just their hitting in situations are terrible. It was like Hanley, I think, is like third to the bottom.
He's hitting like 140 with runners in scoring.
It's unbelievable, and he's like third to the bottom in the league. It's like it's awful. It's really bad. And it's funny. Same kid with the Boston Sports Info guy was saying on his home runs, he has like 17 home runs, and he has like it's something stupid, like 80 to 85% of his RBIs on home runs. It's ridiculous. So it's like if he doesn't hit a home run, he's not going to get an RBI for you. It's like.
The type of player he's always been.
Right. Which I understand, but at the same time, you're like, you want more than that. So
bad signing, Hanley?
I don't know. I mean, they gave him a lot of money, but I think he's okay. He's fine. He's not, you know, a dominant player, but he's a decent player.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough because he's not a strong leader in the clubhouse either. When you had a guy like Ortiz playing... I think that he was strong with Ortiz, but without Ortiz, it's tough. I mean, I don't know. I'm not willing to say it's a bad signing, but it's not a great signing either.
No, I would agree with that. I think in one way because they signed him without a position.
Right.
They threw him in left and they threw him at first base, and you can't really do that, especially with a guy who's a veteran. And you guys brought him up as a shortstop, so
right. Well, not just a guy that's a veteran, but a guy like Hanley, who's so unfocused unless he has something to focus on. You know, that's tough. I think that's really challenging. So, but I thought he was more focused. Like Carrabba said, he was more focused at first base. I think you said it last week, too. He was more focused on playing first. And he was a good first baseman. Like, maybe he doesn't want to do it, but it's one of those situations where you're like, Hanley, sorry, bro. You just got to play first base. It's just the way it is. So, I don't know. We'll see. Look, I would love it if they could keep it going and somehow make the playoffs. You know, although some nights are brutal to watch, it's a fairly fun team to watch.
No, they are,
So, you know, and shit, it's Red Sox. So you want to see the Red Sox do well, but...
Not always.
I know, but...
I don't think I want them to do well this year. I want them to clean house.
Right. Well, I suppose.
I think I would love to see them trade Price by August 31st.
Oh, if they can dump Price, I'd be so on board.
Not just because we don't like him as a person. I just think he sucks as a pitcher. I've never thought he was good.
Yeah.
He wasn't a guy who ever scared me. He won a Cy Young, but it was a down year in the league.
Well, and again, the biggest thing is look at his playoff numbers.
He's never won. Sucks in
the playoffs. And so that's the real problem is that even if he's a dominant pitcher, you get into the playoffs and he chokes and you're like, well, that's it. Like, there's nothing else we can do. You know, if he's your number one going to the playoffs, you're screwed. Now you have Sale. And if Porcello can pull his head out of his ass, then you have Porcello. So you have Sale and Porcello and maybe even Pomerantz. So you throw Sale, maybe Sale, Pomerantz, Porcello, and Price. And Price is your fourth starter. And you just fucking bury him and hope that in the first series you win the first three and don't even have to worry about it. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where you just bury him a little bit and you say, fine. Like, you haven't pitched well in the playoffs. We know that. Go from there, you know.
That's why they didn't start him in game one last year.
Right, right. And everyone bitched about it because, you know, this and that. Porcello won the Cy Young last year, so I was on board with it. But I agree. Like you want to win game one, and you have a hard time winning game one when Price is on the mound. So
right, Price is supposed to be the ace.
Right.
They're paying
him like the ace.
Right.
So that's frustrating. But we'll see what happens. Again, they're in first place. They were winning when the podcast started tonight. They could blow it. Who knows? So we'll see what happens. But anyways, that's one more thing on Price.
If they do trade him, I'm wondering if they're not like really talking about trading him because the other players see him as a leader. Maybe. And that would kind of like hurt the clubhouse in a way. I mean, because to us, because of the way he's acted and the way he treated Eckersley, and not just that, just the way he like doubled down afterwards when he talked about in the clubhouse the other day.
Right.
Like, I think other players see that, especially young players, and they're like, oh, he's setting a good example. So that's why I want them to clean house, because you get rid of Price. I'd hate to see them trade Pedroia over something like this, but also he's on the back end of his career.
Oh, and he had that thing with Machado earlier in the year. Like,
yeah.
He just, you know, it's one of those situations where it might be time to cut bait with Pedroia at this point. And look, you know, I think if the players see Price as a leader now, maybe it's not best to trade him during the season and you trade him in the offseason. You know, I don't know. See if you can make a little bit of a run, and if you can't, you just fucking ship him out. And you ship Pedroia out, and maybe you stick Devers at second, you know, and that's what you do, and you keep Nunez at third, right? So you go from there. So we'll see.
Trade Price to St. Louis for Carlos Martinez and Lance Lynn in a prospect.
Look at that. See, there you go. You've already made the trade. Yep. Dave, we got you on the phone, bro. All
right.
So let's give Jose a call.
Oh yeah,
let's do Jose. It.
Let's get his take.
Leave your message for
Jose Canseco.
Oh, you
want
to leave a message?
Yeah. Hi, Jose. It's the Weekend Warrior Podcast calling you again. I know we talked to you briefly last week. Just wanted to get your opinion on a few different things. Had a real quick question for you. I was just wondering, you know, who you thought could hit a ball further, you or Aaron Judge. Had a real quick question about that. And then also wondering, you know, how you would fix baseball, or if it needs to be fixed at all right now. So, and we had a few other things we wanted to chat with you about as well. We'll try you back next week. We'll shoot you a text next week just to remind you. Okay? Thanks, Jose. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
So there you go. So Jose Canseco, hopefully be on the show. We're on the show last week. Didn't make it on this week. Hopefully we'll get him back next week. So we'll go from there. So without further ado, we are going to get...
We're going to lawyer up soon.
What we?
We're getting a restraining.
Hey, listen, maybe I am, we do.
This is my phone.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't affect me. And realistically, it doesn't really affect you either. I mean, Jose takes out a restraining order when he just means you can't call him anymore. You know,
yes,
yeah. It would be sad. I mean, we'd lose that friendship. You know what I mean? Oh, but
had his number for so long. I don't want to have to.
Well, you don't have
to
delete it. You just don't have to call him anymore. You know what I mean? Better yet, you give it to someone else, and then they call.
Oh, yeah.
Right? See what I'm saying?
Plenty of people have Jose Canseco's number. Trust me.
That's a good point. Good point. So, you know what I was saying to someone, though? Maybe, like, when it went online, he just, like, went dark for, like, 3 or 4 years and then thought that no one would ever call him again and then, like, picked it back up. You know what I mean?
That's what a sensible person would do. Jose's not sensible.
Good point.
A couple of years ago, he shot his finger off when he was cleaning his gun.
Oh, yeah.
So he lost a finger. And I didn't text him. Well, actually, I did text him, but only after I forgot that I had his number.
Oh,
and I saw that a bunch of other people texted him, and they were pretending to be Mo Vaughn. And they were like, hey, I used to be a teammate of Jose's. Tell him I said, get well. And his girlfriend would tell him, and he'd be like, oh, tell him I said thanks.
That's
what's up?
Oh, Jose. So we'll see what happens. You never know. He could be on the show next week. So without further ado, we're going to get Artie on the phone. Artie Januario. We'll have a little discussion with him. All right, on the phone here is Artie Januario, local comedian, has been on a bunch of different things, was on Comics Come Home with Dennis Leary, has done a bunch of shows with some really well-known comedians, and just a funny guy in general, and also my uncle. I'm his third favorite nephew. I don't know if you knew that, Mike. Third favorite nephew right here. This guy crushed it. So, Artie, how's it going?
Good. You're my fourth favorite. Fourth. And I only have three.
Shit. All right. Well, you know, that's all right. What are you going to do?
Also, I'm the pharmacist as well.
Oh, okay. Right. That's right. I forgot to say that. I tweeted that out, and then I totally blew it when I intro'd you.
That's quite right. I didn't write anything else for you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate
that. What's going on? Big Tom Brady birthday today.
Tom Brady birthday. Oh, yeah, big 4-0 today. Actually, you're actually younger than Tom Brady, are you not?
I was on leap year day, so that's... 15?
Yeah, 15.
15 and a half.
So for those of you that aren't good at math, that's 62, in case you're wondering. So
15 and a half. I can start Little League next year.
I'll be in Beirut. Nice. All right. That's good. You'd probably crush those kids. Actually, no, you wouldn't. But yeah, maybe you would. You never know.
Nah, well, I play for the Mexican team. The Olympics.
Good point. Touche. So, we just had a few, you know, wanted to talk some Patriots with you. We know you're a big Patriots fan.
And, I am.
So, obviously, you know, Brady, 40th birthday today as well. But actually, his coach, Bill Belichick, best coach of all time. But I heard you actually met him once, and you had a fairly interesting conversation with him.
I did?
That's what I heard.
I did.
You did?
Bill was, I made him laugh.
You did?
Well, I was with Lenny Fox, so that makes it easy.
That's true.
You know? And Bill is not want to smile much, but after a win, he's always in a good mood.
That's true.
You know? And I told him I was the funny pharmacist, and if he ever needed anything, because I seen his girlfriend's a lot younger than him. So, you know what I'm saying.
I think I know where you're going with that. Yep, maybe a little help there, a little help on the back end.
Because I was funny, but I was serious.
Well, you're just being a good guy, just being a good friend. That's all, you know.
Tom doesn't seem to need it, but Giselle called me.
Oh, did she?
And she said that she wanted something for the pool boy.
Ah, yes. Well, what's his name? Hector.
Eduardo.
Right. If I knew it was something like that.
Julian.
Right?
Hey, I got the inside track, you know.
Right, that's true. Hey, I mean, you're the guy to call for the drugs.
I don't know where else to go.
Yeah.
I was in my car, but he took forever. I'm down at Plain Ridge. I'm kicking it.
Right. You're up like 10 G's tonight, are you not?
Well, we gave a lot back, but I'm up about almost 9,000.
Look at you, dominating.
Unbelievable.
That's great. Drinks on Artie next time we see you.
Yeah, everybody's drinking on me.
Not like on you physically.
I see all these predictions. I hate when they predict like the Patriots to win the Super Bowl and go undefeated. Don't you hate that? I hate when I hear all that.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a little annoying.
It's always better to be underestimated. You're the favorite of everything. Number one, you have a target on your back and everybody's gunning for you because they want to beat the best. Right?
That's true. That is very true.
And the defensive pass rushers, they want to be the guy that takes Brady out.
Right.
You know, it's what you... I know it's bounty gauges long ago, but they still do that stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
If somebody knocked Brady out, then the team's taking him out for dinner. You know what I'm saying? At the least.
Yeah.
Especially with the AFC team.
Oh, that's true. That's probably true. I wouldn't put it past anyone, especially like someone like the Jets who like just blow this season. So like, what the fuck? Who cares? You know?
Right.
What else you get to play for? I suppose, right?
Miami's in trouble again.
Oh, I know.
Tannehill went down.
So
good. The Jets are just a mess.
The Jets might have the worst roster in the history of football, which is pretty unbelievable, but it might be possible.
Cleveland got that new defensive end draft pick there, so if they don't have the worst roster, that gives us a game of that new kid.
Yeah, Miles Garrett is nasty.
Yeah.
Cleveland's
going to be awesome.
Yeah, so that'll be nice. I mean, you know, you're right. I think Cleveland's on the upswing a little bit, going the opposite direction of the Jets.
Won't last in Cleveland.
No, well, that's true.
2 years, he's out of there. Two or 3 years, he's probably out of there.
Torn ACL and ripped Achilles and all that other shit.
No, it's just somebody will trade for him or something.
Yeah.
If they don't win, he's going to say, I can't play on this team.
Perhaps. Well, yeah. Joe Thomas has stuck it out. But Joe Thomas is a special individual, but you know.
Right.
So you were talking about Lenny Clark, who you're good friends with as well.
Lenny Clark, yes. I was in a booth. When I go to the game with him, we sit in Bill Belichick's booth, which is awesome. And it's all catered by, like, the Capitol Grill and everything. And Bill's girlfriend's there with a bunch of her friends. And Tom Brady's dad was in the booth last time I was in there. And he's been a real nice guy. You know, I get to talk to him.
Yeah.
But Lenny, I wasn't with him, but the last time he was with his brother, Mike Clark, who runs the Cable Comedy Club in Route 1 Saugus. Awesome club. Anyway, he got tossed out of the booth because right next to Belichick's booth is the owner's booth of the other team.
Yeah.
And I forget what game it was.
I think.
But he was screaming. There's only like a glass partition, you know?
Yeah.
And he's yelling and screaming and stuff and swearing like he didn't want to. And he got warned by security. And every time the Patriots scored, you go crazy, start banging the glass. Like, fuck you, you guys suck. And so security threw him out.
That's fantastic. In true Lenny fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's
He's a huge fan of everything.
He's
friends with all the owners.
Right. Well, that's one of the things that's funny, because Barstool was bitching about it, because El Prez on Barstool was bitching about it, because he's like, Lenny Clark said everything, and who the fuck are you, and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, first of all, it doesn't matter who he is. He's just fucking friends with everybody. And so, like, that's what happens. When you're friends with everyone, they fucking invite you to shit. So, like, and Lenny's, like, the nicest guy in the entire world. I've met Lenny a few times, and he's, like, the nicest guy.
Bone in his body. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was at John Henry's wedding on the boat.
There
was only like 80 people invited.
And of course he was there. Of course, why wouldn't he be there? He's just and not only that, but then he's doing fucking comedy shows at the Canton Knights of Columbus on like a Saturday night.
Oh yeah. Yeah, giving his time for charity.
For free, right.
Yeah.
So you know, it's just that type of guy he is. So Dave Portnoy, I think right now, right, Barstool is like, you know, maybe like 20 people ahead. Right, where they have like 20 more fans, and like Lenny's like about 20 back. So like the 10 fans that we have here, if they can like, you know, our 10 listeners, if they can all switch from Barstool to Lenny, then it will give Lenny the advantage. You know what I mean? Because then the 10 will go away, and then they'll be like, you know. So I think maybe we'll put him over the top. You know what I mean? Start a little feud between. We can end the feud between Lenny and Barstool. You know.
We should.
That'd be cool. Although it's not really between Lenny and Barstool. It's just between Barstool and Lenny. Lenny's like, fuck you, I don't care. And they're just bitching. So I don't even know if you can call it.
Oh, is this really a thing? Should I talk to Lenny about it?
Yeah. Because he was bitching about it. And then Lenny got on one of the radio stations he's on all the time. Because he's on every fucking radio station all the time in Boston.
Right.
And he was like, who the hell is El Prez? Like, tell him to go screw, I don't care. You know? So...
Right. So
it's something you could say, hey, you know, I was out there on my fourth favorite nephew's podcast talking about
he's just got the biggest hat in the world, that guy.
Yeah, he does. You know? It's crazy. Yeah, so good guy. But listen, one more question for you before we let you go.
Yes.
What's your most memorable Boston sports moment and why? So I know you've been a fan for your whole life, so there's been a lot of shit that happened.
An event that I was at or that I witnessed on television?
Either one, doesn't matter. You pick it, whatever you want. You can maybe you could do two, one you were at and one that that you witnessed on television.
My heart probably soared the most with Malcolm Butler's interception.
That was fucking crazy.
You know, that, I never felt that way in my life. It was like somebody shot me with ecstasy intravenously.
It was just...
You know, you were so down, like, oh, here we go. Especially when a guy makes the catch, and you're like, oh, here we are. They're going to give it to Lynch. What's his name there?
Yeah,
Marshawn Lynch. Yeah. And he's going to bust it in, and here we go. We just blew the Super Bowl. And, oh, my God!
I mean, I remember I was at my buddy's house, and I remember just sitting there praying before that play, throw the ball, because it's the only chance we had was for them to throw the ball, and they fucking threw it. And I didn't know that he picked it off because I saw Lockett's arm go up in the air, so I thought the ball went up in the air. So I'm like, the ball's in the air, and I look over, and two of my buddies are like diving on top of each other. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Because it's one play. I mean, like, you know, the Red Sox in 2004, that was like, you know, four or five nights. And
right.
Even like the Patriots' last comeback
right.
was...
It was over the course of time.
It's a progression of events that
right.
could lead up to the win. Was that one play, it was just like, it was like a shot.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow.
That was wild.
You know, and I jumped out of my seat. It was like, holy shit.
It was awesome.
So, yeah, as far as Boston sports things, that's probably the one thing.
My favorite is the videos. I don't know if you've seen the videos on YouTube, but of the videos of the Seattle guys that are, like, celebrating.
Guys smashing their TVs.
Oh, I just can't even imagine.
And the look on Pete Carroll's face, just everything was priceless.
It's
one
amazing.
One moment in time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. As good as it was for us, it was that bad for them.
Which makes it even better for us.
Right, exactly, right? Drink the tears. So...
Well, she's giving me the high time, which means she's probably losing and we want to get out of here.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. Listen,
I'll call again next time.
All right, is there anything you want to plug before you go?
No.
No. All right.
Plug nothing.
Okay.
Just be good to each other. Love each other. Be kind. Have fun.
I like that. All right, Artie. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you. Number one, F you. See ya.
All right, man.
Number one nephew.
Hey, that's the way it goes, man. Number one. I climbed in the ratings. That's what happened, dude. You do one interview and shoot right up. You know what I mean? So we'll see. That's the way it works. I like that. So that was a good interview. I like doing that. Mm-hmm. That was fun, man. Artie, if you haven't seen Artie, he is the funniest motherfucker.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He just, my God, dude. And you put him on stage with anyone. I don't care who you put him on stage with. Like I said, he was at Comics Come Home with Dennis Leary, and there were big names all over the place in that show. Lenny Clark was on that show. A ton of fucking shitload of guys that were, like, real, legit, like, superstars of comedy, and he was fucking funnier than all of them. He's just hysterical, and I know he's my uncle, so I'm a little bit biased, but really, I mean, people, like, all the time are like, Lenny fucking says to him, Lenny's like, dude, you're funnier than me on stage, but, like, I just got the name already, so it doesn't matter. But, like, but he is... He's hysterical, and that's his thing. He's like, he's the pharmacist, you know, so he does a lot of pharmacist jokes, and he really is a pharmacist. He really, that's what he does for a profession. And so, you know, so it's good. So if you haven't got a chance to check him out. He's all the time, he's at Giggles on Route 1 in Saugus. He mentioned the name there. Run by Mike Clark, which is Lenny's brother, but it's Route 1 in Saugus. It's Prince of Pizza. If you ever driven by it,
that's
it's
a good
the fucking Leaning Tower of Pisa right on top of it. It's awesome. One side is a restaurant, the other side is the Grieco's nightclub, and it's hysterical. So he's there a lot. So, you know, look him up, check him out. He's hysterical. So maybe we'll have to we're doing a trivia night this week,
yes.
Which we'll talk about later on in the podcast, but we're doing a trivia night this week, so listen up for that, and then maybe one night we should do like a night out to see Artie or something like that. That'll be fun too.
That'd
so
be cool.
So, yeah, so Weekend Warrior trivia night, and then we'll do a Weekend Warrior comedy night.
Because we are for the fans.
We're for the fans,
dude. Interactive.
That's what we're doing. Our trivia, we'll talk about it anyways, but we'll give you a little thing here. For our trivia, You show up, you mention the podcast, say you're here for the podcast, first drink's on us. Buying your first drink. I don't give a shit what you're drinking. You could drink a fucking, I don't even know, dude. What's the most expensive alcohol? I don't fucking drink alcohol. What, Belvedere or some shit? Well, I don't know what it is, right? Grey Goose, Belvedere, whatever. Dude, buy fucking top shelf if you want. I don't give a shit. Fucking $15 for your drink? Great. Here's $15. You're getting a fucking first drink is on us, okay?
Is Bill Simmons going to buy you a beer? Nope.
No, that's right. You're damn right Bill Simmons is going to buy you a fucking beer. No, I doubt it. No, they're not going to buy you a beer. They're going to expect you to buy them a beer. Yeah. Fuck that. We're buying you a beer. Right. All right? So you come see us for trivia night. You come see us for a comedy night. We'll fucking buy you your first drink. We'll have a great time. We'll whoop your ass in trivia. Unfortunately, it's just the way it goes. It's nothing personal.
Yeah.
We're just going to beat the shit out of you in trivia. I'm sorry, but that's the way it goes. But you'll have one drink on us, and you'll feel better about yourself. So we'll go from there. All right, so let's kind of segue. I don't know how the fuck we're going to segue from that into, but we'll just move right on.
Moving on
into a little Kyrie Irving. This whole shit is fucking wild. This Kyrie Irving LeBron thing. I've never seen it like it, man. I really have never seen it. That's true, I suppose.
Shaq Kobe.
Yeah. Oh,
Kobe, well, how's my ass taste?
That's it, right? That's the one, right? Shit, you're right, dude. And you know what, though? The interesting thing about that is that Shaq didn't really want out. Kobe's the one that wanted Shaq out.
Right, and Kobe wanted out, too.
Right.
I remember Kobe, he was going to go to the Bulls, I think. He was looking at the Bulls, but he ultimately resigned. Do you remember when Mike Krzyzewski almost became the Lakers coach?
Yeah. Yeah.
In 05?
Wild. That would have been wild.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have been able to control that team at all.
Oh, no way.
No fucking way, no dude. Way. This is not Duke basketball, Mike Krzyzewski. Like, sorry, bro. So, yeah, that was wild. But you're right. And it's funny, I had Shaq and Kobe written down here because I just wonder, like, can two legitimate superstars play together all the time? And it's working in Golden State because it's four of them, and maybe they can all take a little bit of a step back. And, you know, everyone bitched about Durant being a pussy and all this other crap for going there. But, like, I don't know. I mean, I think...
He's fit their system really well.
He really has. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, you look at LeBron and Kyrie, and it's destined to break up at some point. The Heat were destined to break up at some point because it was like they're all superstars. They all want to do their own thing. They all want to win on their own.
And Wade was like near the end of his prime right there.
Well, and I think for LeBron, it's an interesting parallel because I would draw a parallel to Kevin Durant with LeBron going to the Heat. Because LeBron went to the Heat, and it wasn't LeBron's team. It was Dwayne Wade's team.
Right.
And so I think he wanted to go back to Cleveland, number one, because he wanted to repair his image, number one, because it was more about him, but also because it was his team. So he was winning the championship. He was the main guy, whereas opposed to in Miami, it was Dwayne Wade was the main guy, you know? So, but yeah, dude, this Kyrie thing is nuts, dude. If you haven't seen the video of Steph Curry dancing like LeBron is working out, dude, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because he's like nailing it, dude. I mean, he must have like spent time in the mirror doing this shit, because like he sucks. Dude,
they
was
all
like,
make fun of LeBron, dude, everyone makes fun of him.
It was nuts, dude. He's the best player in the league and everyone makes fun of LeBron, and it's like, how the fuck does that even happen?
Nobody had the balls to even mention Michael Jordan's
fuck
name.
No,
in
dude.
1993.
If they had done that shit to Michael Jordan, dude, shit, if they had done that shit to fucking Larry Bird or Magic, dude, there would have been a fight on the court, dude.
There's a story in Bill Simmons' Book of Basketball, which is one of the best sports books I've ever read. Jordan had retired in, like, what, 99? And he was working out with some NBA players. And so Paul Pierce is working out with him. And Jim O'Brien, the Celtics coach at the time, is watching him.
Yeah.
And Paul Pierce talks trash to Jordan. He says something like, you hang with us anymore, old man, or something like that. And Jim O'Brien pulled Paul Pierce aside, and he was like, do you realize who you're talking trash to? I don't care if he's retired. You don't talk trash to that guy.
It's just, I mean, it's a different world. It's a different world now, and people love to hate on the guys that are at the top. And I think LeBron is a very hateable character. I think that for him, he's tried to market himself, and he's done a really good job marketing himself. But
the downside
of that is it looks very forced.
It looks very forced.
And so he does a lot of good things for charity. He does a lot of good things for kids. And look, he's doing a lot of that great stuff. That's not – no one's saying that he isn't. But on social media, it just looks – it doesn't look good. It looks like he's forcing it to make it look like he's doing this, oh, I'm the hardest guy in the gym, whoa, screaming, dude. It's like, stop.
Wouldn't you be just way more of a badass if you just didn't even use social media at all.
You don't even have to. I mean, it's interesting because part of my take had J.J. Watt on, and they were talking about they were talking about that to him because J.J. Watt used to be first guy in the gym. Oh, you know, there's a flood warning. I don't care. I'm going to the gym anyways. Like, and then he was like, you know, he's like, I was trying to be this guy, but he was like, it's kind of like, I kind of look like a douche at the same time, you know? And so, like, LeBron hasn't had that awareness yet where he's like, wow, I kind of look like a douche right now, you know? And maybe he doesn't give a shit.
Because he has people behind him saying, like, oh, great job, LeBron.
Right. Well, and that's really the problem, right? If you surround yourself with yes men, you're never going to realize when you're doing anything wrong, right? And so it's interesting because it's also public perception, too. Like, if LeBron had come out and done that shit about, like, Steph Curry, like, if LeBron had been dancing like Steph Curry dances or whatever, he would have got fucking killed for that. And then Steph Curry does it with LeBron, and people laugh because they're like, holy shit, like, LeBron does look like he's fucking forcing it and, like, trying to, you know, it's almost, it, literally, it was like a dance move. It was like an actual dance move, and he's doing the fucking curls and screaming, and it was like,
but how about,
oh my God.
How about Kyrie laughing, like,
it was
egging
awesome.
It on?
It was awesome. And it's like, after seeing that video, Kyrie cannot play for the Cavs this year. He can't.
No way.
Like, you can't bring him into that locker room and expect LeBron to get 1 ounce of respect. Like, you can't do it. And it's one thing, if it were LeBron doing it and he was poking fun at himself, or even if LeBron were there, like, let's say LeBron were there and Steph Curry were doing it and LeBron and Kyrie were both laughing, okay. Now it's funny because we're just clowning on our friend or whatever. We're just fucking with you. We're just busting balls. You know what I mean? When you see Steph doing it by himself and Kyrie and there's a bunch of players around him and they're all dying laughing and one of his teammates is one of those guys, holy shit, dude. Like, no way. You cannot have that. And so he has to be gone. If you know, the Cavs are fucking stupid, so they could bring him back anyways. But, like, if I'm the Cavs, I'm like, see you later, buddy. We can't have you here after that.
Yeah.
So
it'd be really interesting to see them keep him, though.
It would be interesting. You're right about that. It would be. You know what?
Because the team's done anyways after next year. LeBron's gone.
Yeah, LeBron's out. Well, that's Kyrie's pulling a LeBron to LeBron. He's like, fuck you, I'm out. Because I know you're going anyways, so I'm going to leave, you know? And so do his best thing. But, you know, we'll go from there. But what's interesting, and I did want to talk about this briefly, because I think LeBron is really one of the best players of all time. And I think it's pretty obvious. You watch him on the court. He's one of the best players of all time. But what's interesting is I was talking to, I played pickup ball. I was talking to a kid, Jeff. Mid-range is his nickname because he hits fucking all, mid-range, fucking money from mid-range. So literally for the first like 3 months we played there, I didn't even know his name. I just called him mid-range. But Jeff said, everyone tries to compare him to Jordan and he's not Michael Jordan. The better comparison is Magic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so
I've always said that.
Right? And so it's like, and I had never even thought of it that way. And I was like, holy fuck, dude, you're totally right because he's an unbelievable facilitator. And look, if you're going to give him the lane, he'll take it. And he'll fucking dunk it on your face, right? But at the same time, he's an unbelievable passer. He's one of the best passers in the league as far as facilitating and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why he needs those shooters around him. Because for him to be successful, he can't do it all himself. You know, some guys can. Jordan could do it by himself, basically. You know, and clearly, obviously he didn't do it by himself. But, I mean, he could take over, and LeBron can do that as well. But he's more of a facilitator and passer than he is a pure scorer.
Well, think of it, like, how many in a big game, like, big game-winning shots does he hit?
Not many.
I can't think of really any.
And he doesn't want it.
I know he's hit a couple, but
nothing. It's almost like he doesn't want it either. And so, and maybe he understands that, but he won't admit to that.
Right.
You know, it's again, it's like it's forced. It's like, oh, I'm the best player ever, and I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm this. But then in crunch time, like, does he really want to take that shot? You know, and so, I don't know. We'll see, but that's interesting. So, anyways, that's the whole Kyrie thing. I would assume Kyrie gets traded before the season. Where he goes, I don't know. I have no idea where he's going to go. But he's going to go somewhere because he can't stay on the Cavs.
Right.
Right?
Good situation would be the Knicks, I think. As stupid as that sounds.
It does sound pretty stupid. But you're right.
It is a good situation for him. That's a solid big three right there. And if you put those three guys together, you might have like a top five team in the East.
If I think Melo's gone. I think Melo's in that trade. I don't think the Knicks.
I think if Melo sees Irving there, he'll be like, all right, maybe I'll stick around.
Yeah, but then what the fuck are they going to get? What are they going to trade the Cavs for?
I mean,
Kyrie's like a top 15, 20 player in the league, right? Yeah. So, like, you're going to have to get something for him. you're not just going to give him away for nothing. So you're going to have to give up one of those guys. And then I know they'd rather give up Melo than Porzingis. And so,
oh, Porzingis is staying. Now right. that Phil's gone, Porzingis is going
to right. stay. And so you say, okay, well, if Porzingis stays, then it means Melo has to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, my opinion was, and I think some people had even had tweeted out, maybe not, I don't know, but, you know, Melo, Frank, the kid they drafted in the first round, yeah. Frank from France, whatever the fuck his last name is. Right, yeah. exactly.
He had a playoff game the night he was
right, drafted. The night of the draft, he was like, fucking, I'm not, you know. So,
and the Knicks drafted me? All right.
And then
hopefully I'll tear my ACL.
Right, right. Oh, God. And then, like a first round draft pick or two or something like that. You know, I mean, something like that. And so you're getting back some players. And then Kyrie just says, okay, it's me and Porzingis.
That's
and,
not bad
and
either.
And we'll go from there. Right. Because
that's it's a new, solid
yeah,
combo.
And it's New York. Mm-hmm. So you can probably lure, a free agent. Now, who you're going to get, I don't know. Right. So obviously it's not going to be LeBron. It's not going to be Paul George. Like, you know, who can you get? I don't know. But, you know, that's a good place to start, I think. So I think you're right. And New York makes the most sense. They have the assets to do it. They have the players to do it. So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, who knows? But I think there's no way he's on the team at the start of the year. And if he is, unless they can really put that aside, they're fucked.
Oh.
You know, like, they're going to be a fucking train wreck next year if Kyrie's on that team with LeBron. It's going to be wild.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, okay. So one last thing I wanted to talk about, this motherfucker, dude, here's the deal. Here's my thing. I want to talk about this fucking asshole once and then that's it. I never want to fucking discuss him ever again on the podcast. We could talk about his son. We could talk about his other son if he ever comes to the league, but like, I don't even want
to. He took like 58 shots the other day.
That fucking kid.
In a high school game. Or a pickup game, not like a AAU game.
Right, like an AAU yeah. game. Like, oh, I'm just gonna shoot the ball 50 fucking times. And then his dad is like, fuck you, he's playing. Well, anyways, we're talking about LeVar Ball here, in case you haven't figured that out. You know, his son Lonzo was number 2 pick going to LA. His son LaMelo is, I think, going into his senior year in high school. I think that's right. I
think so.
And he's committed to UCLA already. So,
Does he have a kid at UCLA?
I think
you're right.
The other kid right. is younger than LaMelo. I think he has three kids.
Yeah.
Three boys. And so whatever. So it's all like the L names or I don't know, whatever, dude. It's just annoying. But and I think all three of them are committed to UCLA. It's like one of the kids is like a freshman in high school and he's committed to whatever. It's just a mess. Basically, people have been calling him the Kardashian of sports fathers, I guess, right? Kris Kardashian basically whored her kids out. That's a fact. That's not like an opinion. That's a fact.
Literally.
Like, literally hoard her kids out. Like, release Kim's sex tape. Like, that just happened. It's not, yeah. like, that's a fact. So, you know, and then became famous from it and whatever. And they've worked hard to stay famous. We'll just put it that way. So, but, dude, I saw a thing. Speaking of Kardashians, just for a second, dude, I saw a thing on fucking Kylie Jenner where she was all upset because she missed her fucking prom. And it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. You missed your fucking... Who gives a shit that you missed your fucking prom, dude? Like, really? Like, you go to these fucking parties and shit that people would kill to go to.
Yeah,
and you're true. Upset that you missed your fucking prom? Like, shut the fuck up, dude.
I missed my prom. I wasn't upset about it. Well, dude, I didn't miss it. I just didn't go.
Right, dude? I went to my senior prom, but I intentionally skipped my junior prom. Like, I had just started dating a girl, and I was like, I will take you out to dinner. I'm not taking you to prom. And she was like, okay, whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to fucking prom. Who gives a shit, you know? And it's like, oh, well, they never got to dress up in the pretty dress. And it's like, dude, what are you talking about? You walk red carpets and shit. Like, what do you mean you never got to dress? Whatever. Anyways, sorry to get off on a little tangent there. But LeVar Ball, just a fucking piece of shit, basically. You know, like, whores his kids out, pushing his kids. Big baller brand, big baller brand, big baller brand. I'm a better tight end than Gronk. I'm a better player than Jordan. Like, dude, shut up. It's just... It's tired. It's a tired act at this point.
Right.
It's
just like if you ignore him, maybe he'll go away. Like the president. If you ignore him, maybe right. he'll go away.
Oh, let's not get political. Let's not get political. But
I didn't say which president.
Just a president. A president. 45, maybe. But then forget it, right? But either way.
Pedro?
Right, exactly. So either way, you look at it and you just say, you know, just stop. Right, he was at an AAU game. He got a fucking technical, and the referee was a woman, and he got her fucking kicked out of the game. Like that really happened. That happened. And it's like, come on. Like, this is...
Don't cater to him.
This is exactly the problem. This is the problem. You know, like, this is who he is, and he's a piece of shit, and he shouldn't get away with it, but he does, and everyone lets him get away with it, and it's like, it's just, it's maddening, and I can't stand it. I'm done. And that's why I think Lonzo is going to be a very good player in the NBA.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I actually like Lonzo.
Yeah.
I think he seems like a kind of a humble person.
Yeah, and he's self-aware, it almost seems like, right? Like, he had the commercial where he's talking about his dad doing all this stupid shit. Like, he seems like he's self-aware, and he's a good player. I mean, shit, from twos, he shot 73% in college last year. Like, 73%. And look, you can say, well, he didn't shoot a lot of outside shots. That's fine. But that means he only attempted good shots. Like, my point guard, if he's a facilitator, I don't want him shooting a ton of shots. Like, I know that's the new big thing, that our point guards have to be shooters and everything, and I get that. But if this guy can make better passes than anyone else on the court, and that's all he does, like, fine. I'm okay with that. You know, if he plays good defense and passes the ball really well and, you know, knocks down shots when he has an opportunity to, then fine. I don't care about that. So, you know, I don't want to take it on his kid, but at the same time, I wanted no part of Lonzo Ball in Boston, because I'm going to have to deal with his fucking dad, and I wanted no part of that. And so...
Well, I don't think management... Like, Magic Johnson's not going to let LeVar
take
over. Right. And Danny Ainge wouldn't have either. And
no, and I don't think they would
have. If he went to the Knicks, it would have been chaos. It would have been a fucking shit show.
But I mean, but at the same time, you look at it and just say, I don't even... Regardless of whether he's going to let him take over or not, even if he puts a muzzle on him, you know he's going to start saying shit at some point. Right. And you're going to be like, just stop it. And they're going to be answering questions. Even if he's not saying anything, they're going to be answering questions about him all year long anyways. Oh, LeVar did this, or LeVar said that, or what do you think about LeVar? What do you think? And it's like, that's not the game. The game is the players. That's not the dads. It's not the fathers. You know, it's like, you know, we've gotten into this thing where the parents, I can't even get into this. I'm a teacher, and the parents it's a whole thing with me. And it is true. I mean, you look at some of these sporting events, and the parents are screaming at the kids, and it's like, just stop it. Like, I mean, my daughter's 6, and we'll go to some rec things, and I got parents screaming at their kids to chase the ball and kick it in the net and do this and take it from them, and it's like, the kid's 6. Like, just let them be. It's okay. I know you want to coach them up, but there are people on there that can coach them. Like, just let them play. Let them have fun. They're 6 years old.
Doesn't that tell you how kind of, like, down sports is right now as far as stars and, like, appeal and stuff like that? If, you know, the top story on, you know, whatever debate show it is out there.
Right, it's about LeVar Ball.
It's about the parent of the rookie point guard. And, it's good for LeVar, I guess, for kind of capitalizing on a really down period in sports.
Well, I think that's the thing, is you can't hate on him for being smart, right? Because he's...
Any other era, that guy is like, who is this guy?
Right. But now it's just like, and that's, I think that's what you look at now.
Yeah.
It's all about clicks. It's all
it's
about
It's more an
clicks.
Indictment it's on about, us, the fans, because, you know, you see the headline, oh, LeVar Ball said this, that he's better than Gronk. You're going to click on it. You're going to tell people about it.
And you're going to comment, fucking way, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah, like, people take it serious, but I mean, that's... There's a lot of dumb people.
And that's what happens, and that's all it takes, because ESPN looks at it and says, okay, well, when we post this picture, we get 5,000 retweets. Well, okay, well, we're going to start saying things about LeVar Ball because it gets clicks, and clicks means ads for us, and then ads means we make more money. So, like, what the hell?
I hate what we've become.
It's so frustrating, and that's the big thing, is that it's all about the hot take. Got to be the hot take. Fucking Skip Bayless, that fucking idiot. Did you see what he tweeted out the other day?
No, what was
he
it?
He said...
I can only imagine.
He said, I think it was yesterday, he said...
I did see this.
Belichick this offseason is either going to cut or trade Brady, and he's going to regret it.
Well, yeah, that's... I agree with that.
But
besides the cut and trade part, hypothetically, if he did cut or trade Brady, he would probably regret it.
He probably would. That's a good point. But, like, no one in their right mind would ever say cut. Now, someone else said that too. Like, after this year, Brady's fucking some idiot on
Maz was talking about it today. I think.
Maz is just an idiot. He's a moron. But I forget who it was on with, I think it was with Colin Coward. and one of their
Jason Whitlock.
I don't remember who it was, but either way, he was saying after this year, if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl, they should cut or trade Tom Brady.
Because they don't realize it. They don't realize it because they're not here, and right. we see how the Patriots work.
Right,
like they're looking at it like. That's what any other team would do.
Right.
You know, they look at the Packers, and the Packers, you know, far retired, and even though he didn't want to, he essentially got cut and traded. Or no, he got traded.
Well, I will say, the one thing I will say, and a good point that he brought up, one of the, I think the other guy on the show, which I believe, again, was Colin Cowherd, I believe it was on the Colin Cowherd show, he said, every time they've done that, it's worked out. Kansas City.
Right.
Kansas City, I'm sorry, San Francisco, when they traded Montana to Kansas City, Green Bay, when they traded Favre.
Right.
Well, they didn't even trade Favre. He just basically retired, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't. And
well,
so,
they ended up trading.
And they ended up trading, yeah. right? And then the Colts, when yeah. they cut, they just cut, man. And they didn't even get anything for him. They just cut him. Like,
That's the only one you can kind of compare it to is the Packers. Because Steve Young was already an established quarterback.
Right. Well, that's a good point. I mean, I just think, I don't know if you've seen enough from Jimmy G. I like Jimmy G a lot. This is a good segue for me to say, you know, we met Jimmy G this weekend, signed my girl's jerseys, nice guy. He's fucking gorgeous.
Mm.
Holy shit, is that guy good looking, dude. And I could say that, he's a good looking guy. I mean, you know, yeah. it's just the truth. You know what I mean? You know? So, but I just don't know if you've seen enough from him. Maybe the coach staff has, I don't know.
He's been terrible in camp.
He has, although, two days ago, he was better than Brady was.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, they go back and forth. I mean, it's camp. And Garoppolo historically has sucked in camp anyways, and then he goes out in the games and he looks pretty good. So, Who knows? You know, I don't know. I mean, I look at it and it's a really tough decision that they're going to have to make next year. It's a conversation we're going to have. I promise you, we're going to devote a long time to Brady or Garoppolo. Probably before the season starts. We'll probably be talking about it during the season. We'll definitely be talking about it in the offseason. But it's a decision they're going to have to make next year because they have team control for next year with the franchise tag. But then that's it. Unless they franchise again twice in a row, which teams have done in the past.
They should trade him to the Redskins.
Maybe they should.
Give me Kurt.
Well, hey. Maybe we'll die. Shit, I'd take Kurt Cousins. So, I don't want Kirk Cousins, but I'll take Kurt Cousins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This isn't a be very State clear Farm commercial.
Be very clear about this.
He's wearing a mustache.
Good point. I like it. Dude, you should be his agent.
There it is.
That's it right there, dude. It's like Chris Paul and whatever the fuck the other guy's name was. What was the other one's name? I don't remember.
He had a mustache.
Yeah, right? Cliff.
Cliff Paul.
Right? It was Chris Paul and Cliff Paul, right?
Yeah, right.
Perfect. Kirk Cousins and Kurt Cousins. Perfect, dude. You should be his agent, dude. I'm telling you. We should fucking send that to him. Anyways, that's all we got. Again, never talking about LeVar Ball ever again. He's done.
Ooh.
We're done. Exactly. No more talk about that douche. And that's that. So next week, we'll be back again. Oh, trivia night. Tuesday night. This Tuesday night, which is... What the fuck is the date Tuesday night? God damn it. Idiots. Tuesday night is the 8th. Today's the 3rd.
I'm looking at the calendar right now, dude.
Why are you going to tell me it's on the 8th? So Tuesday, Jesus Christ. If you've stuck with us this long, you know we're idiots. And so, like, it's just the way it goes. Tuesday night, August 8th at the Southside Tavern, right?
Yep.
In Braintree. Southside Tavern in Braintree, Tuesday night. First drinks on us, okay? 8 o'clock, I think, is start time there. I'm pretty
sure
it's 8 o'clock.
Try to get there by 7.
I would say 7:30, somewhere around there. Yeah. Try to get there a little bit early. We'll be there a little bit early. You know, again, first drink is on us. Shit, if we like you, you're a good guy, maybe we'll buy you a second drink. Oh, I don't want to say good guy. Good person, right? Could be girl, guy. Anyone's invited. Anyone can come. Do you want to come, right? I don't want to get sexist.
What about LeVar Ball?
LeVar Ball is invited. He wants to come. I'll buy him a drink.
All right.
I mean, look, it's all love at the Weekend Warrior Podcast Trivia Night. Even LeVar Ball, he can come through as long as he doesn't bring a camera. Oh, maybe he could bring a camera crew with him. That'd be all right. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. You know? We'll have shirts on.
Oh, we'll have our shirts on. We'll have our Weekend Warrior shirts on. You know, I mean, shit. You know, maybe you can even have one. I'll give you the shirt off my back, literally. You might not want it. It might be kind of gross. But I'll give it to you if you want it. So
I won't.
Although, I feel like I need to bring a backup shirt because it's like no shirts, no shoes, no service. Is that how it works, right?
I think that's how it works.
So I should probably bring a backup shirt just in case. If you take me up on my word there. Fuck. Okay. shit, that's like a lot for me to remember. If I forget a shirt, I'll like mail it to you or something. And then I can wash it before, right? So there you go. Yeah. All right, so anyway, so that's it. Southside Tavern, Tuesday night, August 8th, 8 o'clock trivia night. Try to get there a little bit early. First drink on the Weekend Warrior podcast, just for you. So that'll be a lot of fun. And that's it. We'll be back next week. We've got a lot of good things coming next week.
You don't have any on this dates or anything?
Oh,
or?
Fuck. Idiots.
We have time here.
We do have time. You're right. So hold on 1 second. I do have some on the dates, and I totally forgot about it. August 3rd, 1977. This one's an obvious one. We already talked about this, but Tom Brady was born in a manger outside of Bethlehem. I think that's where he was born. Might have been California, but I think that's how the story goes. And then August 3rd, 1921, so that's 56 years earlier, for those of you who are not great at math, the Black Sox were acquitted on a technicality. So they weren't sent to jail, but they were still kicked out of Major League Baseball forever. Those of you who have seen 8 Men Out, great movie.
Yeah, it was a bunch of crap, too.
It really was a bunch of crap, yeah, but especially that's the way it goes.
Shoeless Joe.
Mm-hmm.
August 2nd, 70... I just had the date, but I lost it. It was August 2nd, 1979. Thurman Munson died in a plane crash.
Thurman Munson,
captain of the Yankees. He was the first captain of the Yankees since Lou Gehrig.
Holy shit.
And they've had two others after that. Name them.
One of them's got to be Jeets.
Yep, that's one.
It's my boy, Jeets. We go way back. I don't call him Derek Jeter. I call him Jeets. And then... Paul O'Neill?
No.
That's not right.
One more guess.
Fuck. It's taking up a lot of time.
Never won a World Series.
Never won a World Series.
Played in one postseason series his whole career.
What?
Yep.
So that means he played in like the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
No, Mattingly was in the 90s. I have no idea.
You got it. Mattingly.
Was it Mattingly?
Yeah.
I thought he fucking won. He never won a World Series?
Nope.
Okay. There you go.
Retired the year they won the World Series in 96.
Of course he did. Yeah, it was the Ewing effect.
Yeah.
So, Don Mattingly. Of course I got it and then didn't even think I got it. That's how good at trivia. That's how good I am at trivia. I know things that I don't even know I know. So, good luck beating us on Tuesday because Mike's about 1,000 times smarter than I am. So, when I know shit that I don't even know I know and he knows more than I know because he actually knows the stuff that he knows, then you're in trouble. And I have no idea what I just said and neither do you, but that's okay. And then... In 1936, this week, Jesse Owens wins 4 medals at the Olympics.
Nice.
The last one
he won. Hitler's face.
Right? Fuck you, Hitler. Yeah. And actually, they made a movie about it. I think it was Race was the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
With Jason Sudeikis, actually. And
what?
Yeah. How about Jason that, dude?
Sudeikis? Who did he play?
He didn't play Jesse Owens. He played Jesse Owens like trainer or something like that. Okay. It was actually a good movie. I liked it. So Jesse Owens won his 4th on August 9th, just so you know. That's all. So that's all we got for this week in sports history. We have our check on CFL.
Yeah, the Stampeders.
The Stampeders, Calgary Stampeders.
They won last week 60-1.
60-1. It was close. Very competitive game all the way to the end.
I bet you're wondering, how did the Hamilton Tiger Cats score only 1 point? Well, it's called the Rouge.
Rouge.
And what it is, it's when you punt the ball into the end zone, and it's basically, I think it's something like what we would call a touchback.
Right.
The other team gets a point.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But
and
shit.
They won. The Stampeders won today in Toronto. They beat the Toronto Argonauts.
That's right.
41-24.
Argonauts?
Argonauts.
How about the Argonauts?
Mm.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's like Argonauts, whatever.
Whatever. It's all the same.
And they're 4-1-1.
Crushing it.
Second place in the West Division behind the Edmonton Eskimos.
Crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
The Edmonton Eskimos. So, hey, man, they're on the way back. They're on the comeback trail. The
Tiger Cats suck. They're 0-5. They only scored 1 point.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I feel like it was pretty obvious that they sucked when they lost 60-1. I mean, like, people thought what the Patriots did to Joe Gibbs was bad. I mean, 60-1, just terrible.
Hey.
So, and they didn't put up a 60 spot on him, did they?
No. But
no. So there you go.
Leave so, Gibbsy out of this.
Stop. So anyways, that's it. That's all we got. Next week, we'll be back. We'll have a good show. Hopefully, fun show. We'll do some more stupid shit. And maybe we'll even talk to Jose next week again.
I think we should take a week off with Jose.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, maybe. So we don't get, like, you know.
Sued.
That's a good point. I don't really want to get sued. That would kind of suck, right? Or he throws a restraining order or something.
Because I'm pretty sure it's illegal what we did last week.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I told him that we were live on the air. I told him we were live on the air when we picked, when he picked up.
But he never agreed to it. So
what? Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. His silence was agreement enough. He was on the phone. He could have said, when he said I was on the air, he could have, I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm not a lawyer. But he could have said, no, I don't want to be recorded. Hang up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would have been obviously legally obligated to hang up the phone. But he didn't do that.
I'd hate to ruin this for everybody who enjoys the radio, but when you hear, like, Jam Skims or, like...
Yeah, they're all real.
They're all useless fake survey, it's all fake.
Yeah, totally fake. Because they have to agree to it. You can't...
Right. You can just call somebody.
Record someone without them knowing it.
Even though I used to do that when I was a kid. Make prank calls and then record it on the other line.
Really?
Heavily influenced by the Jerky Boys.
Well, okay. I mean, but you weren't also broadcasting it anywhere. I mean, it was illegal, but they were never going to, like, actually come after you for it. Which would have been interesting if they did, but nevertheless. So, all right, that does it. And we'll end on that shocking
what the hell happened
there?
From me.
Mike's going to get... Listen, maybe we will be here next week. Maybe we won't. Maybe someone will come out to Mike and he'll be arrested and he'll be in jail. Maybe, you know what, though? You can call for... You get a click call from jail. Yeah. Right? We'll link it up. We're good to go. No big deal. So that's fine. All right. We'll play you out with some MDOT as well, and we will see you next week if you still want to listen to us after that episode.